Yes. Fader, vi tackar dig, Herre, för Norbert och det som du lagt på hans hjärta, Herre. Jag ber, Herre, att våra hjärtan ska vara god jord, Herre, och att det här ska bära god frukt, Herre, i Jesu namn, Herre. Amen.
Amen. While we wait for everyone else to come back in, I want to tell you a quick story. Something that happened in the south of Sweden a while ago. I don't know if it was Skåne or Småland, but it was somewhere down there. There was a farmer living all by himself on his little farm. And he didn't have much left, but he had some animals and a couple fields. And one day, the local police showed up. And the officer walked up to him and said, "Old man, I have orders to search your farm because we have been tipped off that you might have some illegal drugs." And the old man, he was shocked and he said, "What are you talking about? I don't have any drugs, but feel free to look around. But just stay away from that field over there." And the police officer, I got him right here, he got really angry. And he pulled out his badge and he said, "You know what this is? This gives me the authority to go wherever I want, whenever I want to. Is that clear, old man?" And the old farmer said, okay. I'll just go inside and finish my lunch. And you go do what you have to do." So he went inside to finish his meatballs and potatoes. And after a few minutes, he heard this loud screaming going on outside. "Help! Help! Help!" And he went out to check what was going on. And he saw the police officer being chased by a big bull. And he said, "Oh, no." So he ran up to the fence and he yelled really loud, "Show him your badge! Show him your badge!" Okay, you got it. Good. You never know with jokes, you know. Sometimes they backfire. I like this story because it helps to demonstrate a little bit of what I'm going to talk about today, which has to do with authority. When I was asked to speak on that topic, I thought, "Oh, that's something everybody knows already." And I said, "Lord, help me find something really cool. Something nobody ever heard before. Something really mysterious. Something in the Greek, maybe. Or something that we just never know." And you know what? I studied all week. I didn't find anything new. It was actually quite embarrassing because I realized I know it all. And yet with it came the sense of embarrassment and humiliation of knowing that, yes, we know it all, but we don't really do it all. So today will be a refresher course in some ways. I've done a police report. So I've put all my information on the board and I have investigated. And I'll just share with you what I found. And we'll see where it goes from there. I guess the most powerful verse at all is Jesus standing at the Mount of Ascension. And he proclaims all power. And in other translations, it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Now go into all the world and make disciples." I don't know about you, but I've heard this misrepresented in telling people that Jesus received all power and authority and he gave it all to us. I'm not so sure. I didn't find that. Not like that. If all authority and all power was given to us, we would be God, and that would not be good. So we need to find out exactly which part of the authority Jesus gave to us as believers and to us, his church. There is a general authority. Every man has been born with the authority to choose who to live their life for, how to live their life. That's an authority that we are born with. And then there is a lot of what we call civil authority. The Bible teaches that all authority in governments, in the institutions, in the military, in the police, all authority actually comes from God. Now, we have a hard time believing that sometimes, especially right now when we hear the news about power and authority being abused in parts of this world in a terrible way that hurts people. It is hard for us to believe that that could come from God. But that's what the word says. No one has any authority unless it is given to him or her by God. But we are not going to talk about that so much today. But we will talk about the authority that we as Christians can call our own. And so there's this Greek word, exousia, mentioned over 100 times in the New Testament. And it means a lot of things besides authority. And you can read it for yourself. It means power, ability, faculty, efficiency, energy, liberty, license, authority, rule, dominion, jurisdiction, the right, the privilege, and the prerogative. And that's just a few. If we were to study more of the Greek scholars, we could find more shades of the same thing. But as so often with the Greek language, our languages do not fully express and explain what God is trying to say to us. And so there is, and all of this is what we mean when we talk about authority in the kingdom. And in some translations, it's used in different meanings, but the Greek word is always the same, exousia, and the grammatical forms of it. So the first thing we need to investigate is, okay, this authority, what for then? Why do we need it? Why does Jesus share some of that authority that he received from the Father with us? And as we study Scripture, and we will look at Scripture very closely today, we find the following things. We find that there's an authority to teach the Word of God. There's an authority to cast out spirits, authority to heal diseases, authority to pray. I will get into that in a little while. Over all the power of the enemy, there's authority to build up believers. And to Jesus kind of sums it up when he says, you will do greater things than these if you believe. Now let's look at some of the scriptural evidence. So there's Matthew. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, power, license, right. And we could go through all those words that I mentioned earlier. That's the way he taught. And that's, I believe, is the authority that he has passed on to us to teach the word of God and the truth about God with authority. And I want to encourage you. Sometimes, or maybe I should say quite often, we feel so insignificant and so weak. And we are put on the spot maybe to share the word of God with an unbeliever. And we feel so helpless, and we think they're going to laugh at the scriptures that we are going to quote. But let's not forget the power and authority that is in the word. God has breathed on his word. And if you speak his word, you're tapping into that same authority that Jesus was tapping into when he preached and spoke to the people of Israel. Let's not forget that. Then in chapter 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples and he gave them authority, power, license to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. And that's when it started hitting me for the first time when I went through this study. Whoa, we really have that authority. That's what he said. That's the part he gave to us. And yet, when we look at church, when we look at church history, when we look at our own lives, how many times do we exercise this authority? How many of us can say that I have cast out a demon? I believe that the majority of Christianity wouldn't know what to do when they were brought face to face with a person that is possessed, oppressed by an evil spirit. And let's not think that in our Western world we don't need to worry about that. There are evil spirits everywhere, not just in the Buddhist countries, in the Hindu countries. They are here as well. They have just learned to camouflage themselves a little bit better. So they are a little bit harder to spot, but they are there and they have enslaved people and they are yearning for freedom. And you and I, we have the authority, the right from Jesus to set them free. Isn't that awesome? I think it is. In Luke 10:19, he says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." Now, this is something I can speak about because I've been in many situations where I was confronted with this reality. And maybe you have too. You see, we have been given all authority over the enemy. But on the other hand, we know that the enemy also has been given authority. Ours is greater. Ours is better. But there is a fight and there is a war. And as I was thinking about that, I was remembering a story I want to share with you that kind of demonstrates this reality. It was in 1991. We were in the Philippines. And I was hosting a team from a Bible school in Germany. And when they came to us, they said, "We just have one desire. We want to go and visit a real mountain tribe." And I had never been doing that. I had never done that myself. I was never called to that sort of ministry. But I said, "Sure, we'll do that." So we went. We drove as far as we could with a car. And then we rode as far as we could on the back of a truck. And then we walked 2 days through the jungle, crossed 2 rivers, until we got to a little small village of a tribe called the Aitas. I have a picture from that trip. The Aitas are the original inhabitants of the Philippines. They were there way before. They are like the Aborigines of Australia. And they are very short, very dark, curly hair. The Spanish called them the Negritos, the little Negroes. They live in groups of 30 and 40. They're nomads, always moving around. And so the village that we came to was just a few huts, really. And they greeted us, and all the children came out. And we saw immediately that almost everyone was sick. Everyone was sick. And so they gave us the biggest hut in the center of the village. And they said we could stay there. And we invited them in the evening to come for a meeting. We wanted to present the gospel to them. They were animists. They had never heard of Jesus. We wanted to tell them about Jesus. We wanted to pray for their sick, which meant pretty much everybody. So we were getting ready for the evening's meeting, and we were praying, and we were all excited. And they were so excited when we first came, but now nobody came to our meeting. We thought it was very strange. And then as we looked outside our hut, we saw a little old lady, and she was running from hut to hut. And she was talking to the people, and then she went to the next hut. And our interpreter told us, "This is the village witch. She's the spiritual leader. And she's telling everybody not to come to you because she's afraid that she would lose power and influence." So we stepped it up a notch. We worshipped harder. We prayed longer and louder. And we just really entered into this war. And said, "God, you have sent us here. We have a message that they need to hear. And they need to come in here." And after a while, we could see them come out of their huts. One family at a time with a little lantern. No electricity, of course. And so they came out. And within 30 minutes, we had the whole village gathered in our big hut. All except for the witch, of course. So we did what we had planned. We sang some songs, we did something with the kids, and we presented a very simple gospel message. We had someone to interpret for us, and several raised their hands and wanted to receive Jesus. And then we started praying for the sick, and then something happened that none of us expected. One of the young woman on our team, she walked up to one of the ladies to pray for her. And the moment she touched her, something happened. Not to the lady she was going to pray for, but to her, the German lady. She was hit by an invisible force. And she flew back about 5 meters, landing on her back. The wind knocked out of her. But it wasn't just that. It was very obvious that somebody was wrestling with her. Someone was sitting on her chest. Someone was squeezing her throat. She was suffocating right there. She was dying. And we all stopped what we were doing. We were scared because we just weren't prepared for that. We were not prepared for that. So we started to pray. We started to command. We started to cast out. We started to bind, you know, all these things that you heard come back to you. And we tried them all. And eventually, whatever it was that sat on her left, and she was okay. But I remember leaving that village just a little bit downcast, a little bit humiliated, because we did not expect that the enemy had so much power. But in the end, the authority of Jesus in us was greater, and no harm was done, and some people met the Lord and some people were healed. All in all, it was a wonderful trip. But the reality is still fresh in my heart today that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities of powers. We cannot see them, but they are real, and they do have authority, though not as great as the authority that has been given to us. Let me go back to this last verse here. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down, so I will not be ashamed of using my authority. Exousia, the same word. You see, you and I, there's power in our words. We have the power and authority to encourage people like no one else in this world. And we need to do that more. We need to speak words of healing. We need to speak words of peace. We need to speak words of blessing. For if we do, we will build people up. And that's what people need in every society and in every culture. There is a huge problem with depression, sadness, and loneliness. And what people need is someone to come to them and build them up. You and I, we have the authority to do that. So we need to use it. And then, of course, there's the doing greater things than these. And Jesus referred to, hey, raising the dead, walking on water, calming the storm, and all the other great, fantastic things that he did. And he said, you know what? If you believe in me, you will do greater things than these. And for those, we need authority, and he has given it to us. Now, to a very practical area, how do we receive it? This has been a very controversial part of church history and is still today. How do we receive authority? Again, I'll just mention it and then we look at some scriptures. First of all, there has to be a personal submission to Jesus' reign. There has to be a submission to his word, to the truth in his word of what he says is right and what he says is wrong. There has to be submission to his delegated authority, and that's one area where the church has split over, and we will talk about that briefly. And then, as a surprise to me, I knew it, but I had forgotten it. There's actually something that we can do to make the authority grow inside of us, because it is progressive. Let's look at that again. So, when we become believers, we are transferred, the Bible says, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We are transferred from under the authority of the evil one under the authority of Jesus Christ. He has rescued us from the tyranny, exousia, authority of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so this is the first step. If we want to receive this kind of authority, we need to submit first. And we need to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. And again, that's a big issue. Because there are many people out there professing to be Christians and they believe in Jesus. They have even read the word and they have a basic understanding of who God is. And yet they have never taken that step of submitting to his reign. Without that, you're not part of the kingdom. And if you're not in the kingdom, you don't have the kingdom authority. It's really quite simple. And yet, for many people, so, so complicated. The other part, and this is the one that's very crucial. The story is amazing. The Roman officer comes to Jesus and said, my servant is sick. Master, can you do something? And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. And he said, oh, you don't have to. I understand authority. I am under authority and I give orders and people obey me. So you just say the word and it will happen. And Jesus marveled and said, wow, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. He's got it. But you see, that's the area where we struggle with. In our societies, we are always confronted with delegated authority. You send your kids to school, they have to submit to the teacher, like it or not. If you're not your own boss, you work for someone else who has authority over you. Of course, if you join the military, it's very obvious and clear. There is authority. There's authority in every part of life, and we are okay with that. We may not like it. We may rebel against it, but we understand that's how it works. And then we come to church, and we say, well, don't you tell me what to do. I don't need to be told what to do. All of a sudden, the delegated authority is no longer valid. It's for many of us because we have been hurt. There has been abuse, just as there has been abuse of authority and power in all levels of society. Many of us, or maybe all of us, have received some kind of, or seen some kind of abuse of authority also in the church. But that does not give us the right to rebel against it in such a way that we say, well, we just don't need it. And we need to remember that if you desire to have more authority in your life, then you need to find a way to be under authority. And the Word of God, and we don't have time to unpack that, the Word of God describes quite clearly what that authority looks like. It's an authority with love. It's a leadership that is willing to lay down their lives. It doesn't talk about abuse. It doesn't talk about forcing people to do what they do not want to do. The Bible explains very clearly the authority that Jesus modeled for us. But then this one is really beautiful. I didn't expect to find exousia in that story, but I did. We all know the story of the talents, money given to three persons and the different amounts. And you know the end of the story, how Jesus was so pleased with those that invested what they had received and gained something. And he said, well done, good servant, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, exercise authority over 10 cities. Authority is given to those that are faithful in little things. And it's so obvious when we look at the story of Stephen. Stephen was a deacon initially. He was serving at the tables. He was feeding the widows in the church. He was a waiter. He was just a servant. And sometime later, we don't know exactly how long, but it couldn't have been more than 3-4 years. We find him in the temple, we find him preaching boldly the word of God with power and authority, so much so that he angered the leaders and they took him and killed him, and he became the first martyr of the church. But it started with serving at the tables. And that's true still today. Sometimes we reach for big goals and we forget the steps in between. I just want to encourage you. God sees every sacrifice. He sees every little bit of service that you do, no matter how small. And he will reward those that are faithful and trustworthy. And when the time comes, and he knows when the time is right, he will entrust us with greater things, and our authority will increase. So if you're wondering why maybe you feel so weak and your authority doesn't seem to be worth much, if you're yearning for more authority in prayer, more authority in speaking the word, or whatever it is, look back on your life and see where maybe you have fallen short being faithful with the little thing that someone asked you to do. So let's keep that in heart, because it's one of the things I was excited to find, that exousia actually is mentioned right here by the Lord Jesus. I forgot to mention something before, which I will go back to real quick. I had talked about prayer, and I never really unpacked that. Jesus tells us that we are to ask for things in his name, and they would be given to us. And he mentions that more than once. What we have done with it is kind of sad. We have used those scriptures in generating a formula that we have added to the end of our prayers. So many of us feel, if you grew up in a Christian home, you probably feel guilty if you don't say in Jesus' name at the end of every prayer. But to be bluntly honest, this is not biblical. Jesus never told us to use those words at the end of our prayer. He said that we are to pray in his name. And again, it's implied in the word. It's a form of exousia in that word, the authority. So it's not in those three words that there is any power at all. There is no authority in those three words. But it's in the way we pray, in and through his authority, we are to pray. And then the promise is we can have what we ask for. So next time you pray, remember that. There's nothing wrong with praying in Jesus' name, but there's no more or less power in it. You understand? And you don't feel guilty if you by chance happen to forget to say those three words, because they are not magic. And there is no power in them by themselves. It's the authority that we pray in, not the name Jesus as such. Okay, let's go back. Almost finished here. So, if authority is delegated, then how do we receive it? Well, we receive it through the leadership in our churches. And I leave that up to you to decide what that means. But there's a trend to have whatever God gives to us outside from the church. There's a trend to become more and more web-oriented, even when it comes to church, to receive our teaching on the internet and to join a web church. And those are fun things, and there's nothing bad about them. But I don't think this is what Jesus had in mind when he talked about a body that functions and life flows through the body from top to toe. Now, let me finish with one last point here. Again, this is where it becomes practical. So now we know what the authority means. We know what the authority is for, if you remember. For casting out demons, for healing the sick, for speaking with authority, and on and on. We know what it's for. We know now how we can receive it. We can receive it by being faithful. We can receive it by believing in God's delegated authority, by submitting. We can receive it by believing, of course, in the promises of God. But now comes the point, how exactly do we exercise it? How does it flow out of us? And the scriptures are so, so clear on that. One of them is it's exercised through our spoken word. Authority does not beg. Authority does not ask. Authority commands. We are not told to ask to cast out demons. We are told to do it ourselves. We are not told to beg demons to come out. We are told to cast them out. Sometimes our prayers are so cute. Oh, dear Lord, if it pleases you, could you please be so kind and help this person from their affliction? And God smiles and says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. And I will answer your prayer. But this is not really what Jesus taught us. So this is something we have to understand. It is okay, and it's even biblical, to pray for the sick. There's another scripture where Paul tells us that if we are sick, we can go to the elders of the church and they will pray for us. So the prayer for sickness is not unbiblical, but that's just one part. The authority that we have given goes way beyond that. You can speak to the sickness. You can speak to the broken bodies. You can speak to the afflicting spirits that are causing that sickness. You have the authority to do that. And I challenge you, if you haven't done that yet, to maybe change your way of praying, to change your way of ministering, and do that. Even though in your heart you may not find the faith, do it out of obedience. Because Jesus said, this is what you can do, and I give you the authority. And then we know that authority is exercised through the laying on of hands. Let's just look at two more scriptures here. So that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. The power of life and death is in the word. We have no idea how powerful the words are that we speak, for both good and for evil. One day, we are to give an account of every word we ever spoke. That's not going to be easy. There's a recording right now going on the heavenly hard drive or whatever he uses, where all of our talk is being recorded. One day it will be played back to us and we will feel like sinking into the ground of all the pointless things we have said, meaningless things we have said, hurtful things we have said, but also of all the encouragement we have given, of all the commands we have issued in Jesus' name to change people's hearts and lives. So the power is in the word. So we need to speak. And then the other part is, we all know that, but sometimes people come to our church and they say, how come you always touch each other when you pray? I've never seen this before. Where does this come from, this touching business? And some people feel uncomfortable. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. So where does it come from? It's what Jesus did. And he said they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. So one outlet of this authority that we have been given is by touching another person's body. And in that way we can transfer healing. In that way, we can cast out demons. We can even transfer gifts of the Spirit and other spiritual things by touching. So don't be afraid to be touched. And don't be afraid to touch someone. Now, for us here, this is not such a big issue. But in some countries and cultures, it is. Like in a Muslim world or even in a Hindu world, to touch someone else's head is a big insult. So you need to be very careful how you do that. And the churches in those countries are trying to figure out how to best touch someone without offending them. But here in our Western society, that's not a big issue. So feel free to gently touch. I said gently, I didn't say push. So, yes, and this is really what I want to share with you today. Nothing new, no surprises. And yet, I don't know about you, there is a sense of failure. When I read these scriptures, for I realize I have only used so little of the authority that has been given to me. It's a little bit like the human brain. You know, we only use like 10% or something like that. There's a lot more up there. And it's the same is true with authority. There's a lot more in there. A lot more in there. And we'll never run out. That's the awesome thing. Rivers of living waters will flow out of us. And they will never run empty. God himself will replenish it. So now all we need to do is do it. And God has given us more and more opportunity. There are things happening right now as we go into the streets. It's not always easy to pray for people, but God has given opportunity. We have been out bringing food to the beggars and praying for them, and they love it when we pray for them. We are praying here in our meetings, but I think what God really wants to see is us to do it as a daily rhythm. Whenever an opportunity pops up to pray, to command, to bless, to heal, to speak a word, we should take it. Not just on the days that we gather, but even on Monday, the hardest day of the week for many. Or maybe on Friday when you're so tired you just want to go home and relax. Make yourself available and let the authority of Jesus flow. I'm going to finish in a prayer. And I don't know, can we have one more worship song? Jacob, is that possible? As we worship, just briefly, one more song. Think about what you've heard today. I think it's not that difficult. We just need to position ourselves in a different way. If you feel that you have failed God in some way, well, ask Him to forgive you. It's as easy as that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, whatever it may be. But then we should not dwell in the past. We should not dwell looking at our failures and shortcomings. But we will look forward. We say, Lord Jesus, help me. Here I go. And we go forward. And we get up in the morning and we pray, Lord, give me a chance today to exercise your authority. Give me opportunity today to be an agent of your kingdom. In my surroundings, at my place of work, wherever it is you send me today. So I'm going to pray now that God would impart just a new sense of His authority in us. I cannot impart authority because He has already done that. But we will pray together that God would meet us and encourage us and lift us out of this negative way of thinking that, yeah, he and she, they can do that, but not me. Because that's a lie from the enemy. If you believe in Jesus, then you have access to the same authority as everyone else that calls himself a follower of Jesus. So, Father, I ask that you would now come in mercy and touch us again. And, Lord, we have been humiliated. We have been broken by seeing that we have not fully understood what you have given to us. And Lord, we have let many opportunities slip by in the past. But Lord, I just ask right now that you would cleanse us. Cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us from our failures, from our shortcomings. And put us again, Lord, on that path. The path of your kingdom, the straight and narrow path. And Lord, I pray that you would come now with an impartation of spiritual gifts. Lord, I ask for an impartation of courage and boldness, especially to those of us that are timid, to those of us that are shy, to those of us that are introvert. Lord, I pray that you would come and impart boldness that is way beyond our maturity. Way beyond, Lord, our experience, Lord. Make us fierce like lions, Lord. Lord, you have sent us into this world to tear down the powers of darkness. You've given us the weapons. You've given us the armor. You've given us your spirit. And you've given us authority to do that. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask, Father, that you would now come and fill us once again with hope and fire. Set us ablaze, Lord. Set us ablaze, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. Let's stand up and worship.
Our Father in heaven. your